especially want to welcome you if you've come here for the first time. We're so happy that you can join us this morning. I'm Pastor Howard Shea, and I'm really excited to bring to you this message this morning. And this morning I want to talk about a topic that's very important. It's what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And this is something that's been really near and dear to my heart. And I like to just address this this morning from the Word of God. So let's bow in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you and thank you that we could have the freedom to come here to worship you. We just ask for your Holy Spirit to come. Just fill us. Just fill our minds and our hearts as we read your Word. I pray that you would just really speak to us through this passage and help us to understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have you ever wondered this? And you're gonna have to help me here. Here's several things, several questions that I like for us to examine today. Have you ever wondered what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, and also what are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, you guys are going to help me out there, okay? What are the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and what steps do I need to take to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, so these are the three questions that I like to explore today. And so I'm wondering if any of you have asked yourself that question. You know, these are very important questions, and I'd like to share with you just from the perspective of coming here to the Vineyard, having a greater understanding of what that means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so on the next slide, we're going to take a look at several points here. The number one point is first of all, what types of people were filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? And second point is this, is who were filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and how was this different from people in the Old Testament? And then thirdly, how can we believers be filled with the Holy Spirit, and what kind of results can we expect to receive after the filling of the Holy Spirit? So I need to give you a little bit broad overview first before we look in Ephesians chapter 5, because that will give you a more complete picture of how the filling of the Holy Spirit happened through the whole Bible, you know, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay, and so we'll be taking a look at this scripture. So let's read this scripture together in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. Let's read that together. Okay? It says, "And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. So in the next slide, I just wanted to take a look at who were filled with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, okay, next point, only special people with special tasks were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is something that is different in the Old Testament. For example, okay, second point, please. Okay, so you have prophets, priests, and kings, and craftsmen for the tabernacle. So not everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit, but these special people like prophets, priests, kings, and craftsmen, okay, they were given the Holy Spirit so they can accomplish their task. Now, I want to ask you, how many of you are artists? Anybody who's artists, like you like to paint or you like to do things, artistic craftsmanship, things like that? Okay, now, you like this next point. You know, what was amazing is the first person in the Old Testament that was mentioned as being filled with the Holy Spirit was an artistic craftsman, right? So let's take a look at the scripture here, and you artists will really like this. All right, let's read this scripture together, okay? Let's read it together. "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, and to work in gold, silver, and bronze, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. I said this 6 years ago to this sister in Taiwan, and she was an artist, and she was so happy. You know, she's like, wow, I didn't know that. But can you imagine, the very first person was Bezalel, and he had to devise all these artistic designs for the tabernacle. Because you remember, the tabernacle was a tent of meeting that God, our holy God, met with the Israelites in the desert, and they worshiped him and met God there. They offered sacrifice and worship there, and the presence of God was there. And so this was such an important task. Okay? And so you have a person like Bezalel, who was filled with the Holy Spirit because he had an important task. Okay, we have to, this doesn't work, so you have to do it by hand. Okay, so in the next point here, I just want to mention that the Holy Spirit filled a person to do a special task. But in the Old Testament, what happened was the Holy Spirit could leave when a person rebelled against God grievously and committed serious sins. So the Holy Spirit did not come to a person permanently. Let me give you a couple of examples. Okay, one example is Samson. Have you guys heard about Samson? Samson in the book of Judges, he's like Rambo, you know, in the 80s. You know, he's a guy who goes out. He's a military judge, and he goes out and fight against the enemy of God. And one time, he took a jawbone of a donkey, and he killed 1,000 men with it. I mean, and, you know, you're talking about one of those really buff military conquerors. That was Samson. Okay, and so he was filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to do this great task of wiping out the enemies of God. But you know what's the problem with Samson? He had so much lust in his heart. He lusted after foreign women. Okay, and he was a Nazirite. A Nazirite, a special type of person. As a Nazirite, you have to be holy. You cannot drink wine. Okay, you cannot have your hair cut. You cannot commit immorality. Okay, and you cannot touch dead things. And he did all of them. All right, and so what did Samson do? He fell in love with Delilah, which is a very wicked but very beautiful Philistine woman. Also, he repeatedly disobeyed God. One time he ate honey out of a dead carcass of a lion. Okay, and he just did all sorts of things. But God still used him. But then what was sad was sometimes the Spirit would leave him, and Samson wouldn't even know it. I mean, that's one of the saddest things that can happen to a person. So there's Samson. And then the next example was King David. You know King David, right? He's a man after God's own heart. But he's also a person after his own heart. I mean, he's the best of men, but also the worst of men. You know, he could be the most godly king, a godly worshiper of God, very effective, a leader and military conqueror, but he is also the worst of sinners. And so some of the sins he did was he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he tried to cover it up, and he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah the Hittite, a faithful soldier, he had him killed and out in battle. Okay, and he thought he could cover it up, but then God knew, and then the prophet Samuel said words of judgment to him. And so he was really scared about that. Okay, and so here's something that in Psalm 51, this is what David said. Okay, and let's read this together. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Now, we read that, but my brothers and sisters, that doesn't apply to us. But to someone like David, he was so scared because he sinned so grievously. And he remembered King Saul. King Saul, you know, what happened to King Saul? King Saul was wicked. He disobeyed God. He did all sorts of wicked things in disobedience to God. And God removed the spirit from Saul and allowed an evil spirit to take over. And so he was so scared that would happen. And so David said these words in Psalm 51. But here's the good news, my friends, is that we're not living in the Old Testament. Aren't you happy? Yeah, we're living in the new covenant. And the new covenant experience is completely different because when the Holy Spirit comes, it dwells in us permanently. And so this is the prophecy in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 30 that was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost. So let's read this together, okay? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. And so, my friends, this is the good news. The good news is that, number one, God has poured out his spirit upon us. So, my friends, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and he dwells in you permanently. Isn't that great? This is something that none of the people in the Old Testament experienced, the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And also, secondly, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and stays permanently. Okay, thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives you special gifts to use for the glory of God and for building the church. So each one of you have a special gift. Even if you don't realize you have a gift, God has given you a gift. So he wants you to discover it and use it for his glory. And then fourthly, we're commanded to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so later on I'll tell you a little bit more about how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the next verse, I want to revisit this verse and talk about what are some of the results of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's read this verse again, Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. It says, "And do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So I'd like to share with you really briefly, what are some of the results of being filled with the Spirit? How do you know if when you're being filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, you have the desire to worship God. Okay, you worship God daily. And that doesn't have to just mean singing songs, but you can pray to God, you thank God, you have a heart of worship to God. Okay, I'm really thankful for all the worship leaders in our church who serve so faithfully. You know, they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. And number two is giving thanks continually to God. Now, when you have developed an attitude of thanksgiving, you can tell that's the Holy Spirit working within you. And then number three is submitting to one another in reverence to Christ. When we are able to build good, harmonious relationships with one another, within the family, within God's family, within the fellowship, then that is the Holy Spirit working. And I'd like to add another point here, and that is to continue in the kingdom works of Christ. In Isaiah chapter 61, another result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is you are continuing what Christ did when he was on earth. And I'd like for us to read the scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Let's read that together. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom for the prisoners." So my friends, there might be some of you, just like Pastor Dennis just shared. You know, he was in a doctor's office and he prayed for the person for healing. You know, that's doing the works of Jesus. And some of you have shared some great testimonies, how you shared about God's love to your coworkers or to your neighbors. I mean, that's doing the work of Jesus. You know, we're continuing the work of Jesus. And I just wanted to share with you a little bit about my experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that when I was thinking about this message, and I was looking back in the last 10 years being in the vineyard, I noticed something in common. A lot of times, I experience God empowering me during my time of limitation. For example, I notice this. Sometimes God tells me to do something, and then I tell God, "God, I've never done this before. I don't know what I'm doing." How many of you have felt that way before? OK, Okay, almost everybody, right? Okay, here's good news, my friends. Get ready to be rocked by God. Okay? During your time of limitation is God's opportunity. And that's when you can feel the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want to give you some examples. Okay, some examples. Like, for example, in 2006, I was asked to share Bible stories and to evangelize to kids in kids' ministry. Now, you have to realize, I'm not a kids person. Okay, I really am not, okay? And so, you know, for me to do that, it's like, it's really difficult, okay? So I was going, God, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm not a kids person, God. You know that. But, you know, God, you're going to have to help me out. Okay, so that's what happened. And then I just went and started to share Bible stories to them. And then guess what? The Holy Spirit started to come upon me. And I began to know how to talk and relate to the kids and say stories. And they even laughed at my stories, which was really amazing. Okay, and then I gave a simple altar prayer and said, how many of you want to trust in Jesus and have him to be your Savior? And then I saw like 10, 15 hands go up. And I'm going, I'm just amazed. I'm just looking at them amazed. I said, God, I praise God. This is completely amazing. Okay. So I had the opportunity to help Sister Huiling in Bright Hope and saw many kids come to know Christ. And so I was just praising God about that. And then the second instance that happened in around 2006 was that there was a friend of mine called Raymond, and he told me, hey, Pastor Howard, have you ever shared the gospel to seniors? You know that's the only place where they allow church services. And many of you heard some of my stories about the seniors, but I just want to say, I said, oh no, I've never done that before, but I'm willing to try, okay? And so again, I said to God, I've never done this before, okay? And guess what? That began a wonderful journey during the next 10 years. First time I went with Brother Raymond, he gave the gospel, and 30 hands went up, people accepted Christ, and then I began to do that, and over the course of time, we saw miraculous things. We saw people who couldn't speak, people who couldn't hear, many people accepting Christ, and it was such a wonderful ministry, and so many people were involved in that. Some of you were involved in that, and it was such a blessing, and I just remember during that time, I said to God, I've never done this before, okay, and guess what? God rocked my world again. And I've done things that I've never done before. And then the last thing, third point, was dealing with evil spirits. Okay, during the last 10 years, for some reason, I had to deal with some very difficult cases of demonic oppression. Again, I said to God, I've never done this before. Okay, same thing happened. God gave me the empowerment to be able to do that. And do healing prayer ministry. And so I just want to share that with you. Okay, if you've come to a situation that God calls you to do something and you feel totally out of your league, you say, God, I've never done this before. Guess what? You're in for a great surprise. And that is an opportunity for you to experience the Spirit of God. I want to share a couple more examples. In the healing prayer room, sometimes I don't know what to pray for when someone comes in. Okay, and I remember last month there was a brother who came in, needed a lot of emotional healing, going through some really deep hurts in his life. And I remember praying silently. I said, God, you got to give me some revelation. What's this guy going through? Okay, and when that happened, basically right at the moment, a thought came into my head. Ask him about his past. Okay, a thought came to my head. This person's father might have placed some curses upon him, might have labeled him as a loser or something. So ask him that. Okay, and so I did. So when I asked, and this person said yes, you know, my dad placed a lot of curses on me. Okay, and then we were able to break that. Okay, and I led him into forgive, to break those curses, and we prayed for God's blessing upon him. And, you know, a great transformation happened to this brother. Great emotional healing that took place. So I just want to tell you that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and God wants you to fill you with the Holy Spirit. So I want to share with you how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's basically four steps. This is from Billy Graham's book on the Holy Spirit. First, you need to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Number two, you confess your sins and you ask for God's forgiveness and cleansing. Number three, ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and provide you special abilities and gifts. And number four, just trust in faith that God has done so. My friends, do you know that God really wants to give you the Holy Spirit? He even wants you to have the Holy Spirit even more than you do. Okay? And so this next prayer, I'd like for us to pray this together. Can we pray this sample prayer? This is a sample prayer that you can pray at home. Okay? And you can pray this daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's pray this together. Dear Lord, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I confess my sins to you, and I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Christ. I dedicate myself to you as a living sacrifice. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me spiritual gifts to use for your glory and for building up your people. Provide me greater revelations and insights so I can know you better. Bless my work, bless my studies, and my relationships with my family, my loved ones, and my co-workers. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you can remember this type of prayer and pray, I tell you, you're going to see a big difference in your life. So I'd like to challenge you with a 30-day experiment, okay? Each day, I want you to do this. Confess your sins to God, ask for His cleansing, dedicate yourself as a living sacrifice to God, ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and with all the spiritual gifts and abilities, and ask God to bless your studies, your work, your relationships with people so you can glorify Him. And for those of you, especially with difficult co-workers, with difficult bosses, I think God's going to even give you even greater grace, you know, greater empowerment, okay? So I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. You can close your eyes. I'd like to ask, how many of you today, you'd like to try this out, 30 days? Every day, you pray for filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, God's going to rock your world. You're going to see the presence of God. You're going to see greater effectiveness, greater relationships, just healings and all sorts of things, marvelous things taking place. So I'd like to ask Pastor Dennis to come up at this time to lead us in ministry.
I ask the worship team if you can come forward, prayer team if you can come forward to be ready to pray. I want to mention one more thing before we pray. The Ephesians 5:18 passage, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians was written to Christians. And so even if you are already a Christian, there is this call. And really the Greek there is to be continually filled. So as Pastor Howard is mentioning, that we are constantly coming before the Lord. We know that this Holy Spirit indwells in us as Christians, but that we're constantly going to God and saying, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And that's God's call to us. In this time, as we go to the Lord in prayer, we always just sing two songs to close out service. Our prayer team is up here to pray for any and all needs. And if you've been around our church, you know that this time is casual. It's like, you know, we pray for any and all needs. But this is one of those Sundays where I just really felt like to encourage as many of you who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit to come forward and receive prayer. In the Bible, when they pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, it was always done with the laying on of hands. I know we could say, oh, I just pray for the Holy Spirit on my own, and I believe that God honors that. Yet we also see in Scripture that it was often, most of the time, accompanied by people just laying hands on each other and being filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of hands went up at the time when, as Howard's mentioning, are there those of us who experienced limitations in our lives. And there's probably many of us that are sitting here right this morning in situations where we feel limited. We feel like we need breakthrough. We need God. We need God to show up or else things are not going to work out. And I just want to let you know, Holy Spirit is here this morning. something that we really sense in the time of prayer this morning is that the presence of God is here. We need the presence of God. Some of us are going through certain situations in life, and we know we need God's presence with us at work where it's not going to work out. We need God's presence to show up in our family situations where it's not going to work out. We need God's presence in our financial situations or it's not going to work out. I just want to encourage you, receive prayer today. Holy Spirit is here. The call of Ephesians 5 is real and true. It was to Christians and saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, that we would go before God with that kind of a desperation that Paul was speaking to the Ephesians about. That I need God. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to do the things that he calls me to do. So Father, we come before you this morning. We just say, welcome you, Holy Spirit. We just say that simple prayer that we've been taught through the years in the vineyard to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us up. And in the situations and places where we feel the limitations, fill us up with the Holy Spirit to empower us. Give us the gifts to do the things that you call us to do. Can we all stand together? We're